Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt, a podcast about electric vehicles, autonomous driving, renewable energy, and much, much more. My name is Bodhi, and I am your host, and we have a new patron. I want to thank Graham for becoming a patron and supporting the show. I'm not going to do a Patreon plug here. I'm just going to thank Graham for taking the time and the money to support the show. As you all know, all of the money that comes in through the Patreon, that money goes directly back into the show to make it better, to buy new equipment, to pay for all the subscriptions that need to be paid for. So thank you very much, Graham, for supporting the show. I appreciate it. If you need anything or if there's a suggestion that you have, please feel free to reach out to me. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our EV news this week. Last week, we talked about EV startup Canoe. And I had mentioned that I was really hopeful that Canoe could sell more than just a few of these delivery vans or any of the vehicles that they're producing, because it just seems like they're getting these orders for like a handful. And if everything works out, we'll order more later. And it doesn't seem like those big orders are coming in. So not surprisingly to anyone who even pays the vaguest bit of attention to this stuff, Canoe had a really disappointing quarter. But that's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how much Canoe paid for their CEO's private jet. Now, the CEO, his name is Tony Aquila. I will say that I feel really confident that this is only reimbursements for when Tony would go to certain places. I don't think this is if Tony wants to go to Hawaii for vacation that Canoe is footing that bill. That's on Tony. But if you had to guess how much a small startup paid for their CEO to travel around from place to place to place, what number are you thinking in your head? I'm going to give you a second. All right. That number is $1.7 million. They paid $1.7 million in 1 year for Tony to fly from place to place to place and do business on behalf of Canoe. That seems excessive to me, and let me tell you why. Because Canoe lost $302 million in 2023. They brought in around $886,000 in 23, which is, you know, not great, Al. These are not great numbers. If your company is losing $302 million, it's time to start flying budget airlines. Like, if your company lost $302 million in a year and you're a startup, you don't even get to pay for priority boarding. You go the budget of the budget airlines. You sit in the back with all the rest of us losers. I include myself in that because I've never flown first class. But you do this because the company that you're running is very close to going out of business. Right now, Canoe's stock is trading at $2.50 a share. Now it's $2.49 a share. These are not great numbers. So here's what I have to say to Tony. Free advice, Tony, if you're interested. If you want to fly your jet around, cool. Fly your jet around and pay for it out of your own pocket, because your shareholders who invested in your business, they're probably losing money. So taking $1.7 million out of the business so that you can fly private doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And it really doesn't make a lot of sense to me when I'm almost certain. I'm not certain because I don't work for the company, but I'm almost certain that Canoe as a company has rallied together. The managers have rallied the employees together, and they're like, you know, we all got to come together. We all got to tighten our belts. We all got to make sacrifices. Well, that starts at the top. For me, sacrifices start at the top. If the guy up top isn't making sacrifices, or the gal up top isn't making sacrifices, then I'm not going to make a sacrifice. That's just the way that it works for me. All right. Let's see. That went way longer than it needed to. I'm sorry. Let's go to a short story. Rivian has officially built 100,000 EVs, so congrats to the Rivian team. Moving on, let's talk about Ford. Ford sold just barely over 20,000 EVs in Q1 2024. So let's break this down. The Mach-E sold 9,589. I think it was last week we talked about Ford lowering the price for the Mach-E. So that bumped sales up a little bit. And then in terms of the Lightning, they sold 7,743 F-150 Lightnings in Q1 2024. And then we throw in the E-Transit vans. They sold 2,891 of those. So a grand total of 20,223 vehicles sold in Q1 2024. This is not the road to making their EV lineup profitable. Not yet, anyway. As a matter of fact, Ford is delaying plans for their next EVs. The Project T3, which is an EV pickup truck, is delayed from 2025 to 2026. And their three-row SUV was delayed, I believe, from 2025 to 2027. Ford has mentioned in the past that they are going to focus on hybrids over pure EVs, at least in the short term. They call it a transition. Here's the problem, is if these hybrids cost as much as the EVs do, and they have all of the problems of an ICE vehicle and all of the problems of a EV, I don't think people are going to buy these either. I think it makes more sense for Ford to build an affordable EV that is compelling. So I went to Ford's website to find out, you know, what are their vehicles starting at? Because I genuinely have no idea. And this is including ICE vehicles and EVs. So if you want a Ford Bronco Sport, it starts at $30,000, just under $30,000. If that's too much money for you and you're like, I don't want to spend $30,000, well, good news. Ford will sell you a Ford Escape for $29,495, for $300 cheaper. That's it. Those are their most affordable SUVs and CUVs. You can buy a Mustang, not the Mach-E, just a regular ICE-powered Mustang for $30,920, so just under $31,000. And then we get to trucks. If you're looking to buy the Ford Maverick XL, you're looking at spending just under $24,000. That's not bad. That's pretty good. It's a small pickup truck, but $24,000, not too bad. If you want the hybrid engine, you're looking at spending $25,000. So that's, you know, a way better price than the SUVs and sedans. And then you get to the Ford Ranger, which is $32,000. And then it just kind of goes up from there. So why am I telling you all this? Well, I'm telling you all this because that's a lot of money. Like, the average price for a new car here in Arizona is, according to Zebra.com, or thezebra.com, is $32,422. There are brand new firefighters that I work with. When you talk to them about how much they're paying in rent because they don't own, they get paid a good amount of money, slightly over $50,000. I don't know exactly what it is, but the starting salary for a firefighter in Arizona, or at least the department I work for, is right over $50,000. They can't afford a $32,000 car because they're too busy paying all of that extra money into rent Like, rent is ridiculously expensive right now in here in Arizona, at least. So my point is that if Ford can't build an affordable vehicle, an affordable hybrid vehicle, nobody's going to buy that vehicle either. They're not going to buy that hybrid because it costs too much money. I don't think this is as much of a problem with people wanting EVs. There is a little bit of that. There's still a lot of education that needs to happen when it comes to new EV owners. But if you've priced your vehicle so high that people can't afford it, and then you say, well, they're just not ready for EVs or they're not ready for hybrids. No, you overpriced your vehicle. And then you have the problems with the dealers, where if somebody goes in to buy, let's say, the Ford Maverick hybrid, that probably qualifies for some level of federal incentive here in the United States. Whatever that qualifies for, most dealers, not all, some dealers, I should say, some unscrupulous dealers, are going to increase the price of the Ford Maverick by that same exact amount. So they make more money. My point is if people can't afford your vehicles, or the vehicles that you have that people can't afford, you're going to allow your dealers or some of your dealers to, let's just say, charitably overcharge for your product, then that's a problem. That is a problem. That is slowing down EV sales. Not to say there's not other factors slowing down EV sales. I fully believe that there are other things happening in the world right now that are slowing EV sales down. But I also think that a lot of that has to do with education. But again, I've gone off script. This was literally three lines in my notes. So I apologize about that. I feel a little preachy today, if you can't tell. Let's go ahead and move on to let's move on to the Chevy Bolt. If you own a Chevy Bolt and you're looking to buy a 2024 Chevy Equinox, well, then I have really good news for you. Chevy is offering current Bolt owners a $3,000 discount if they would like to upgrade to the 2024 Chevy Equinox. So when you couple this with the $7,500 federal tax credit, you'll get a total of $10,500 off the price of an Equinox. And right now, I believe the starting price for an Equinox is $41,900. The more affordable version of that car is supposed to come out sometime in the near future. But if you're here in the United States and you qualify for that federal tax credit and you get the $3,000 off, if you're a Bolt owner, you're getting that car for just over $30,000. Not too shabby. So if anybody out there is, you know, in this position, send me an email, bodie@918digital.com, and let me know if this is something that appeals to you. And even if you're not in this position, if you were, would it appeal to you? I would like to know. Speaking of Chevy, we have updated range numbers and an updated price for the 2024 Chevy Silverado EV RST. We actually have somebody in our audience who purchased one of these. Should receive it in the next, it seems like 7 weeks by now. So congratulations to them. Better than originally advertised, honestly. Normally, especially Chevy, but normally when car companies announce a vehicle that's 2 to 3 years out, they give it the best possible specs and then they adjust down from there. Not in this case. The original range for the RST was 400 miles. Well, now the updated range is 440 miles with a full charge. So not the 80%, that is a full charge, 100%. And the price is now $96,495, which is down $10,000. So overall, good job, Chevy. I like to see that. That gives me hope. And Chevy, in their EV decisions, doesn't always give me hope. Let's just say charitably, I'm often frustrated because I think Chevy could do great things with their EV program, and I don't feel like they live up to their potential. I'm not mad at you, Chevy. I'm just disappointed in you. Let's move on to BYD, Build Your Dreams, a Chinese automaker. It looks like BYD will be launching their next generation Blade EV battery later this year. The chemistry is going to be a lithium ion phosphate chemistry. The blade design, these blades are long and flat, and BYD says that this saves space and is less weight. They have a previous generation Blade EV battery pack that they've been using, but the next generation is coming out later this year. BYD is also working on an electric pickup truck for global markets. And why did I say global markets? Because I really think BYD wants to push here into the United States. I saw a picture of this pickup truck. It's all camouflaged up, so it's hard to kind of wrap your head around what it actually looks like. But based on the picture, based on the camouflage, it looks really similar to the Chevy Silverado SUV that are EV that we just talked about, a body style that would be very favorable to people here in the United States, because you know who loves their pickup trucks? Americans love pickup trucks, and BYD building a factory in Mexico so that they can serve the South American market and maybe the North American market. Maybe. I think they're coming. They're on their way.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
All right, that is it for our EV news. Now, it is a new month, and I need to thank our patrons. So I'm going to do that. But before I do that, I do want to tell you I have a new podcast out. It's called Beyond the Post. Rob Dunwood and I have been working on Beyond the Post for, since October of 2023, 6 months. And we have finally released, we are going to release every week on Wednesdays. And our latest episode, we sat down with Angela Hollowell. And if you have any interest in creating, whether that's you're just wanting to know what goes on behind the scenes, or you want to know how to create something for yourself, then I highly suggest that you listen at least to this episode, because Angela gives us so much good information on how to get started, the importance of community, and why you might want to consider a service-based business before moving into your own personal projects. So it's a really, really good episode. I'll put links to Beyond the Post in the show notes. Please go check it out. And I'm really interested in hearing your opinion. And by the way, if you want to hear behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on this podcast, Rob and I talk about some of that stuff in our one-on-one conversations that we have as well. So I don't give names or identifying details, but if you want to know about things that have frustrated me and that you never hear about, you'll definitely hear about them on Beyond the Post. All right, let's go ahead and thank our patrons. Let's start with our newest patron, Graham, Steve K, Charles S, Paul S, John, Just Another Nick, Charles F, Electron Raceway Fabricator, Scott R, Ravi, Gene, Sean, Chris B, there's another Chris with the last name of B, but they have another initial in there, so we'll get to that. Jamie, not Jaime, the Scottish version of Jamie, not the Spanish version. Sorry about that, Jamie. Don, Christopher, Stephen E., Alex, Alky Bob, Sleet, Friendly Sleet 66, Joseph B., Jerbo, Steve S., Bruce W., Isaiah Howard, Bruce C., Michael Muskie, Rolando, Tommaso, Chip, Chris SB, Sierra, my Sierra, Dale, Don, Cameron, Nate, Mark, and James. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. I'm not going to do a long Patreon plug here. I'm just going to say, if you are interested in supporting the show, there are ways to do that in the show notes. And I should say, because I forgot to put this in the show notes, we have winners for the Go Subscribe to Allison Sheridan's Podcast contest. And the winners are Mark and Chris. So there was only one Chris and only one Mark who entered into the contest. So if your name is Mark or Chris, you won. I will reach out to you later today or tomorrow. I don't want to ruin the surprise, so I'll reach out to you today or tomorrow and get your address and get you your coffee mug. So thank you very much for everyone who participated. All right, let's move into our Tesla news. Tesla is now the largest private employer in Austin. They currently employ 22,777 people. Eventually, their goal is to hit over 60,000 employees just in Austin, which is a lot. Let's see. Tesla FSD drivers have driven over a billion miles on FSD. And if you think, well, that's a lot, it is a lot. That is further than it is from the Earth to Saturn. So it would be less miles if you were to drive from Earth to Saturn. That's a lot. So congratulations to the Tesla team. Although you didn't really do anything, Tesla team, what you did was you charged people a bunch of money for a product that doesn't quite work. And again, this isn't in the script. I'm off script all day today. I'm annoyed. You charge people a lot of money for a product that doesn't work. And now you got a billion miles of testing out of it. So I guess congratulations to the folks who are paying a bunch of money for FSD and testing for Tesla. I this is your award. This is you all did a wonderful job. Tesla, not so much. Oh, let's see here. I'm going to get emails on this episode because I'm very preachy. Let's move on. Remember when Tesla offered, this is such a cynical show. Remember when Tesla offered the one-time full self-driving transfer? Like if you owned a vehicle and it had full self-driving, or if you owned a Tesla that had full self-driving, you could buy a new Tesla and transfer that over. And Elon said, this is a one-time thing. This is like, you know, amnesty or whatever he said it was. One-time deal. Well, I think they've done that three times now. At this point, Tesla needs to come out and they need to be like, hey, listen, we are lowering the price of full self-driving to $10,000, okay? And on May 1st, anybody who pays the $10,000 gets full self-driving for life. And all of the people who have paid for full self-driving already, whether you paid $2,000 or $2,500, whatever it was way back in the day, or you paid the $15,000, doesn't really matter, you get full self-driving for life. After May 1st, we're going to have a $2,000 FSD option, but that $2,000, you buy that, it stays with the car. So if you buy a new Tesla 3 years down the road, $2,000 again. There's no upgrading to the $10,000 lifetime subscription. Now, in this scenario, Tesla's going to have to do some make goods for all the people who spent $15,000 or $12,000. And those make goods can come in the way of referral points or whatever to make people feel good about overspending for their product. But I think this is the way Tesla needs to handle this, because Elon thinks that people don't understand the value of full self-driving. And Elon doesn't understand that people aren't going to pay that much money for something when their budgets are already stretched for a product that doesn't work yet. But if you said $10,000, you get FSD subscription for life or FSD service for life, you're golden. You're golden. I think more people would probably spend that $10,000 knowing that they're probably going to buy more Teslas in the future. But the people who can't afford the $10,000, me, would be more than happy to pay $2,000 to get FSD for the car that they currently own. And as far as the monthly subscription goes, drop that down to $50. Over the course of somebody owning their vehicle, you're going to get more than $2,000 out of them. And they may be perfectly happy to just pay you $50 for the service. All right, moving on to supercharger stations. Tesla is now deploying prefabricated supercharger stations in just 4 days. This is about half the time as it took previously. We talked to Edwin Zhao, I think it was September of 2023. He was a former Tesla employee. He was one of the first employees on the supercharger team in New York City. And Edwin walked us through all of this great information about finding a suitable site, partnering with the property owners, designing the project, getting municipal and utility approvals. And then there's electrical upgrades because you might not have capacity at the panels. So you got to upgrade all of that stuff. And then there's problems scheduling contractors and coordinating with utilities. So these Tesla pre-builds, Tesla builds these concrete slabs with holes and conduits. So you just run the wires where they need to go. And the supercharger stalls and cabinets and everything else, they're all kind of come affixed to the things that they need to be affixed to. And then they just set these concrete slabs in place. And it's not quite plug and play, but they run the power to where it needs to be run and they turn it on 4 days instead of 8 days. And not only does it lower the time for install, it also lowers the price. So good on you, Tesla, for that. That's great. Let's see. Let's talk about Tesla's down quarter. Their Q1 2024 was disappointing, and Tesla blamed attacks on ships in the Red Sea, arson at Giga Berlin, and Fremont changing over to the updated version of the Model 3. Tim Levin from Inside EVs gives us some other possibilities for the down quarter. So Tesla built over 47,000, some media sites are saying 46,000. So between 46 and 47,000 more vehicles than they delivered. So they have a lot of vehicles in inventory right now. And as a matter of fact, Tesla is selling inventory vehicles at a discounted price. Like if we're looking at a Model 3 rear-wheel drive, not me personally, but we as a group listening to this podcast, we're looking at a Model 3 or a Model Y rear-wheel drive. The regular cost is $46,990. It's currently on sale for $42,290. And if you're here in the United States, after the federal tax credit, you're looking at spending just under $35,000 for this Model Y, which at, you know, full price is just under $47,000. So, you know, pretty decent discounts. Now, let's get to Tim's thoughts. Tim's thoughts on why Tesla kind of had a disappointing quarter is that their lineup is getting old. And I would say it's pretty mature. His solution is model makeovers. Like we need updated models. We've had the same Model Y more or less for the last 4 years, the same look of the Model Y for the last 4 years, which, you know, that's when it launched. And I would go a little bit further to say that Tesla needs to start when they update one of these vehicles, they need to update all of the vehicles. Like I understand we're not getting the traditional 2024 Chevy Silverado is going to be a lot different than the 2025 Chevy Silverado. I understand that we're not doing updates like traditional automakers do them. However, if you update the Model 3, within a few months, you should be updating the rest of the vehicle, the rest of the lines, so that there is parity, but there's also excitement as to why people want to buy your vehicle. And you might say, well, Bodhi, they came out with Hardware 4, and that's pretty exciting. Yeah, they came out with Hardware 4, and I still don't think it has parity with Hardware 3 vehicles. It'll eventually get there, and it'll eventually overtake Hardware 3 vehicles, but it's hard to sell somebody on the benefit that they may or may not see in the time that they own the car. Tim also mentions the Cybertruck. Honestly, the Cybertruck isn't going to sell at volume with its current price tag. And honestly, who knows if that's what Tesla wants. They may just want to keep that a niche product so that they can experiment with and keep that price high. I have no idea. Another thing that Tim thought was causing problems with the stock is Elon's behavior and opinions are alienating customers. And to that I say maybe. I would say that some people may not buy just because Elon's Elon, and those people weren't going to buy a Tesla either anyway because they didn't like Elon from 5 years ago, and they definitely don't like Elon today. But there are other people who didn't like Elon 5 years ago who do like Elon today, so maybe they'll try an electric vehicle. Who knows? I know a lot of people who have bought a Tesla who don't agree with Elon's worldview. They just held their nose and wrote a check. Because it's a good car, and Elon is not Tesla. I think this is where a lot of people make a little bit of an error. Like, if you don't want to support Elon and so you don't buy a Tesla, that's totally fine. I'm not judging you or trying to argue you away from your position. But Elon is not Tesla. There are over 70,000 people who work for Tesla. And that number is probably much higher than 70 now. It was 70,000 a couple of years ago. Yes, Elon is the voice for the company. He's the CEO, but he's not the voice for the employees. And that much is clear, to be honest with you. But he's not the voice for the employees. There are 70,000 people. Each one of those people have their own voice. They make their own contributions to Tesla. So honestly, I don't know how much Elon's behavior or what he says has to do with sales of the actual vehicles. Maybe a lot, but I would hesitate. I probably not. And then the next thing on Tim's list is EV competition. You have companies here in the United States like Hyundai and Kia. They're making very cool EVs, and you know that's eating into some of Tesla's business. You also have the EV startups like Rivian and Lucid, which, granted, they're not blowing the world up, but eventually they will. And then you have the Chinese automakers. And if you say, wait a second, the Chinese automakers aren't here in the United States. Well, they kind of are. Polestar operates here in the US. But also, Tesla is a global company at this point. And these Chinese automakers have made inroads into, you know, other regions. And then finally, we have lack of affordable options, which brings us to our next story. According to Reuters, Tesla has canceled their inexpensive vehicle, the $25,000 car. Some people called it the M2 or the Model 2, depending on who's talking. I don't know why Tesla has never officially come out and said that's the naming convention. And I think they've actually come out and said that's not going to be the name at all. But yeah, according to three sources familiar with the matter who spoke to Reuters, instead of developing the more affordable EV, they will develop self-driving robo-taxis on a similar or the same vehicle platform. According to the article, Elon directed the team to go all in on robo-taxi. Elon has come out on Twitter and said that Reuters is lying. His specific tweet is, "Reuters is lying again." Elon first mentioned robo-taxi on Tesla's master plan, part deux, and the plan at that time was for robo-taxis to work for anybody. Anybody running the compatible hardware and software should be able to turn their vehicle into a robo-taxi. Now, we have no idea if that's still what Tesla's going to be doing, but it makes sense that if Tesla's building cars in 2024, 2025, those vehicles are going to be robo-taxi compatible. Now, Tesla might run their own fleet of robo-taxis, and they may want to run it on this smaller, more affordable platform because it's smaller and more affordable. But there are people who are going with a group to dinner, and they will maybe want to take a Model X because it's more comfortable. I don't see robo-taxi being confined to one vehicle platform. I see maybe in the beginning, but I see robo-taxi being you know, fleet wide, as long as you are rocking the required or compatible hardware and software. Whether or not Tesla will let regular people participate, that remains to be seen. But I don't see robotaxis having to be on one specific platform. Now, as far as the more affordable $25,000 vehicle goes, Elon's already said Reuters' story is untrue. So I would imagine that Tesla is working on the $25,000 more affordable vehicle. The team sees it as a great way to feature robotaxis, at least in the beginning. And Elon's like, hey, go in all in on this. Because as far as we know, Elon has mentioned in the past that the robotaxis won't necessarily have a steering wheel. He's also mentioned in the past that there might be need to be a driver in the robotaxis to begin with. It's kind of all over the board over the last couple of years, kind of like I've been on this podcast. So let me just sum this up. Tesla needs a affordable EV that most of the population can buy. Even if it's less than $30,000, I think that's going to be a huge win for them. In terms of robotaxis, well, Elon said we're going to get more information on robotaxis on August 8th of 2024. Based on previous years, it may be that it's a combined presentation of robotaxi and the annual shareholders meeting. We'll see if that ends up working out that way. But I suspect that we're going to find out more about Robotaxi on August 8th, and then we'll probably see a reveal of the more affordable $25,000 EV option on August 8th as well, because Elon's already said that we should see this vehicle later this year, and August is later than it is now. So that's my guess. All right, everybody, that was a long show. I apologize for that. I got real preachy. I got on my soapbox, but hopefully you enjoyed it. If you want to email me, it's Bodie, B-O-D-I-E, at 918digital.com. You can also find me on Twitter at 918digital. Hope you all have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you on Friday.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.